Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome and thanks for listening. I'm here at BEI, which is Business Enterprise Institute, and they're having their annual conference here in Denver, Colorado. And it's a collection and collaboration of about 125 advisors who specialize in helping business owners to find their exit from their business. These are specialists that invest time, and they're here now to learn new planning techniques and ideas and strategies. And with me is Ken Stiefler from Exits LLC. Ken is one of the consummate professionals. He's one of the first members of this group. He lives here in Denver, Colorado, and he's chosen to spend the last few days here sharpening his saw so he can be a more effective professional for his clients. And Ken has built a tremendous practice helping business owners develop an exit plan all over their business. Ken, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you, Ken. I've been wanting to do this interview with you for quite a while. And to give our listeners a sense of you and what you're all about, tell us a little bit about your background and how you developed Exits LLC.
Well, I have kind of a unique background in that I got to learn exit planning really at the foot of the master, John Brown, who was really the godfather of exit planning when he wrote his first book some 30-odd years ago. And being right here in Colorado, I heard John talk, and I thought, wow, this is something I'd really like to be doing. I brought my very first, my only business owner client, which were two owners. They had all their records in a shoebox on the floor, and John said, tell me about your key employees, and they just pointed at each other and laughed. But that started our longest running exit case. It lasted about 24 years. At the time they sold to an international company, and so that just sort of got me started. But we started Exits about 11 or 12 years ago, really about the same time that BEI came into existence. And at Exits, all we do is exit planning. So I'm really one of the few people in the country that can say I'm a true exit planner, because I don't have a legal practice. I came up in exit planning via the route of being the insurance advisor at the table. Mm-hmm. But I no longer do that. I wanted to kind of change my direction, change my focus.
Well, the beauty of the insurance industry is it does teach you to find out what people care about. They really teach you well how to dig deep and all the fact finding and really get to the root of the issues. Not just, you know, some people work with a tax planner and they know about their taxes and their financial situation, but they don't know what's in the people's hearts a lot of the time. And this is about what's in someone's heart and what their goals and desires are, right?
Oh, very definitely.
So that was a good way for you to get learn how to really work with people in the insurance industry.
No doubt about it. I think the other aspect, though, is I think every professional wants to differentiate themselves in one way or another. And I think, again, going back to John Brown, who got me started in the career, he always said that, Ken, I'd like you to be the quarterback on the team, because you're the only one that didn't charge by the hour.
So, uh-huh. Right.
So in effect, what we've done is we've done what a lot of advisors know needs to be done, but they don't really want to do it. And that's drive the process, herd the cats, the other advisors, and put together the plan. So that's our differentiation.
Now, Ken, why is exit planning such a big deal now? I mean, it seems like for the last 10 or 12 years, it's we're talking about the tsunami of baby boomers, but why now? What's happening now in particular?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do that a lot of the baby boomers are business owners, but I think the recession put off a lot of the exit plans of a lot of advisors. I think there was as far as the leading edge of the tsunami, I think a lot of the business owners wanted out about 4 or 5 years ago, but the value of their business took a 30, 40, 50, 60% drop. Many didn't survive it. But those who did survive it, they really want out now. They don't want to go through this again. And at the same time, they're kind of competing for that exit, if you will, for the you know, those owners who are just now ready to be out. So it's like a doubling up.
So it's an aging issue. Number one, the baby boomers are now all over age 50, up to age 68, and of course there's a whole wave of business owners ahead of them that were entrepreneurial, and they're starting to feel like, you know, now's the time. And then you have this kind of, remember the kids game Chutes and Ladders, where they get to in 2008, a lot of them were getting ready, and then all of a sudden the chute, and they get a reset button, and now they're starting to feel like, okay, maybe now I can start thinking about this. But there's been this whole reset button that we've gone through. So pent-up demand?
Definitely pent-up demand. And I think I do a lot of work with inside transfers to key employees or to a son or a daughter or to a key employee group. And that next generation they were anxious to be the next generation of owners maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So there's really a pressure, if you will, from both ends, from the owner wanting to be out 3 or 4 years ago, to that next generation saying it's my turn.
So to clarify for our listeners, Ken, exit doesn't just mean sale of the business to an outsider. A lot of these businesses need to transition to insiders as well, and to family members and key employees. So you help with all of these issues, right? Just the whole strategy, and you ask, where do you want to go? I'll help you get there.
That's it, exactly. We go in with not having any preconceived notions. I tell business owners that they've got their exit strategy inside them. They just don't know what it is, and that I'm going to help bring it out.
So what are the first few steps when you work with someone? What are some of the clarifying questions that you might ask to identify how you're going to work this or where they're going to go?
Well, I really start out by working with a business owner to first of all, kind of lay out the landscape. That exit planning is going to be something where we're going to delve into a lot of different issues, and that some things that we look at aren't going to go anywhere. But until we talk about them, we don't know if they're going to go anywhere or not. So I think it's a matter of, I explain it kind of like that there's going to be a bunch of different dots out there. And we're going to look at all these different dots, and that at some point in time, don't know how long it's going to be, that you're going to start to, in your own mind, start to connect these dots, and you're going to start to see the makings of your own exit strategy. So all these questions are just dealing with those dots. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your time horizon. Do you know what your business is worth? Do you know how much money you need to do the next things? Do you have those next things that you want to be doing? If you think about transferring your business to an insider, does that insider really want the business? Can that insider run the business? So there are lots and lots of questions.
So the difference between your process and, say, someone who doesn't have a real process out there, because a lot of people say they do succession planning and exit planning, but they can't demonstrate a process. But what I think I hear you're saying is the biggest part of it, the most important part of it, maybe not the biggest, is the diagnostics and the understanding and the deep questioning to help them come to their conclusions, not just here's what you need to do and here's a strategy, which a lot of people tend to say. They're brusque. They just want to throw out a strategy. I call it a size 9 shoe salesman. Here's my size 9 shoe. What size are you? Do you fit? No. So you're diagnostic and consultative to help the owner figure out their path along the way.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. I think one of the – and sometimes the business owner, they look at me and they say, well, why are we going down this way? You're talking to me about my estate planning goals or my gifting goals. I think our process really enables them to see how one thing not only leads to the next, but how they intersect, how they overlap, and that you can't make decisions in one area without oftentimes greatly affecting something that's going to happen in another area. So I think as we delve through this thing, and most of our engagements last upwards of a year, and sometimes it's 4 months of just going through all of these exploratory questions and sessions. It's not uncommon when we get into a conversation on a Monday, and then the owner thinks that this is how I feel about it, and then I come back the next Monday, and they joke and they ask permission if they can change their mind.
Right. Things change. Relationships are a big part of this too within businesses, especially family businesses and others, and those relationships can change very quickly as well.
Well, not only that, I think it's they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
So quite often they'll. I'll ask a question, and a good example is, you know, if you've got, if a business owner has two children, one involved in the business, one not involved in the business, and I say, how important is it you to treat your children equally or fairly? And a lot of times the first response is equally. And then they say, well, what do you mean by fairly? And because the equal thing may be that I want to give them, you know, each 50% of the business, but one of them is not involved in the business. So, you know, maybe the next week we start talking about more about what fair is, and that maybe that child who's outside the business can be treated fairly through other means other than giving half of the business for which that person is not involved.
Well, we say it all the time. The goal of family business planning is happy Thanksgivings forever.
That's right. Right. That's
and sometimes you have to be tough, and sometimes you have to realize that there's going to be conflicting objectives between family members who are involved or not involved in the business, and those are tough issues to deal with sometimes.
Very tough issues. Very tough.
Now, a lot of these strategies that we talk about and the BEI process cross the lines of disciplines from tax to legal to financial to operational. And, you know, that's one of the things we hear a lot of, is that somebody's got to be the general contractor of this construction project. You don't want all the contractors showing up on the same day. And there has to be a running order for this project. How important is that to prioritize? And because you have, I don't know, how many strategies do you usually see in a typical exit plan? I mean, I know it could be all over the board. What's the range?
Well, I would say that probably a minimum of 5 or 6 different strategies. I've seen upwards of 14 or 15 different strategies.
Yeah, a lot.
Many business owners are extremely successful, have made a very comfortable life for themselves, but they've kind of created this little wall around their lives. So much of their lives are just wrapped up in that business that they've not done a lot of the other issues, and they feel very uneasy about that. I've had very wealthy people that wondered if they were going to run out of money. I mean, it's just not uncommon. But you use the term general contractor. And at Exit, since we are really one of the few folks that just does exit planning, I tell people that this is an imperfect analogy, but it's about as close as I can get to explain what we do, and that's the construction analogy, because most folks have remodeled a kitchen or done something. So I say, I'm the general contractor. I can't do anything without my subs. So my subs are the valuation folks, the estate or business planning attorneys, the CPAs, the business coaches, the bankers, just a whole host of different people that can come into play that really are the ones that become part of that owner's team going forward and to help keep them on track.
That's a great analogy. I think a lot of people get that because and the other thing is, you don't want them all showing up at the job site, like I said, on the same day. That's not the way it works. They get in each other's way. And some of those strategies you talk about are going to be immediate strategies because they're going to be time-based. They're going to need some time to take hold, and others are going to be down the road kind of strategies. And so then do you get together with the advisor team, either the clients or other collaborative relationships you've built, then to say, okay, here's our working plan, let's work together on this? Is that a big part of this, is collaborating with the team?
It's definitely a big part of the team, but I think part of the unusual, perhaps the unusual part of the process, is that typically upwards of the first 4 months that I'm working with the owner to get a handle and help them understand what their objectives are, to get a real clear picture of what the makeup of the company is. How long has it been formed? Is it an S corporation? Is it a C corporation? Who are the shareholders? What kind of benefits do you have? Tell me about your key employees. Are they old? Are they young? Are they motivated? Those are things that will typically take about 4 months. And during that 4 months, although I've been introduced to their advisors, and I've given them an understanding as to how this process will unfold, and that I'm going to need and count upon their participation. During that first 4 months, I will typically only be dealing with the owner and mm-hmm. other stakeholders, and a financial planner, theirs or somebody that I bring in, and a valuation person, because I'm just trying to focus on what the business owner's objectives are and what resources that business owner has to achieve those objectives. And they're either going to be personal or they're going to be business resources. So it's after that fact-finding time that I'm able to basically have a clear understanding as to what other professionals are going to be needed to have a seat at the table. And if I use the analogy for those who went to college, that it's like putting together a case study, that I put together this case study that's an encapsulation of all the work that I've done, that the financial planner has done, and that the evaluation person has done, and I get that out to the entire team all at once, so that we're all looking at the same thing at the same time.
Exactly. So the first early part is the goals, objectives, and facts. And that's a big part of this, is turning assumptions into facts, isn't it?
Exactly.
And then that's something that everybody now has the same set of goals, facts, and objectives to work from. And then, like you said, the strategies become apparent. Now it's a question of which ones do we run first and which ones do we work on maybe at the same time.
And what I usually find is that it kind of surprised me, but it was a number of years ago that an advisor said, even though I'm going to want to put my two cents in from the standpoint of me being the professional, the attorney or the CPA, that you've been working with my client or you've been working with the client for 4 months and really having a lot of very deep and intimate discussions, that just from the standpoint of that you've done this for so many years, give the planning team a sense of how you see the overall plan looking, at least at the 30,000-foot level. What do you see as being the major strategies? And when I go into that first meeting where everybody's together, they've already been given all of the facts. I've sent that out, so everybody needs to be doing their homework. This is the results of the valuation. This is the results of the financial needs analysis. This is the makeup of the company. This is the these are the objectives of the owners and the other stakeholders across a lot of different areas. That typically they'll look at all of the recommendations that I've put forward and generally say that I would support, and those would be the ones that I would make. But quite often, and it's okay, they'll say that, have you thought about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really didn't. I miss things.
And that's okay, because that you're at least getting to the point where you're moving towards an exit.
Exactly.
If you will. Now, you're a consummate professional here. You specialize in this. Why are you here at the annual conference for BEI? What do you get out of meetings like this?
Well, one, you can kind of lose the forest for the trees. Sometimes you get to thinking that you're the hottest thing since sliced bread, and you come and see other folks that have been working at this, and there is no one way of doing this. So everybody has a little bit different approach. So as soon as you start to think that that you can't learn from those that are in your field or doing what you're doing, then you're going to stagnate.
So you need to sharpen the saw, just like everybody else. Sometimes you need to leave the forest and go back and sharpen the saw, and you're going to be that much more effective on Monday when you head back. Have you picked up some great tips and ideas in this conference?
Oh, definitely. But the other part of it is that is just renewing and strengthening the relationships that have been built up. I've had many instances where one of my clients really needed to have a certain type of advisor, and I work all across the country, The question is, do you know somebody in our area that does this or that? And my answer is typically that I either do because of a relationship that I've developed here, or that I don't. But let me go back to our organization and basically find out if there's somebody that that maybe I'm that's part of our organization, but I don't have a specific knowledge of. Plug them in. So that's been very, very helpful.
So, Ken, what would you say would be some tips, ideas, or precautions for anybody listening saying, this, I think I'm ready to start looking into exit planning? What would you tell them as some brief tips, ideas, or precautions?
Well, I want business owners to have their eyes as wide open as they possibly can. And over the years, I felt that that my way of helping to facilitate that is through a lot of different educational offerings. So we do workshops. We offer white papers on our website. We they can get our exit planning review, which is an e-newsletter that comes out twice a month. That it's just there. It's an awareness builder. It's not trying to make them an expert on exit planning. And that so that when they make the decision that they are ready to do planning, that they have an understanding of a number of things. Number one, this is going to take time. It's not something that's going to happen in 3 or 6 months. Number two, that there is no one advisor that can do it all. They've been told that before, and I think that they come to the realization through a lot of the stuff that we turn them on to. Education-wise, that it is a multidisciplinary thing, and that so time it's multiple disciplinary, and also that that exit planning is not something I do to them, it's something I do with them, and that if they're not going to be a willing partner in it, then it's just something that's just simply not going to do.
Yeah, listeners, if you're contemplating this, understand that the professionals are going to put a lot of time and energy into helping you, and they're very helpful, but you've got to be coachable along the way. You have to meet them in the middle. Sometimes they're going to tell you some things that might be counterintuitive or might be difficult for you to swallow, but you need to consider them, have an open mind, because ultimately they're seeing this multiple times. You're probably going to see your exit once. So, Ken, how do our listeners get in touch with you?
Well, they can go onto our website. It's www.theexitfactor.com. They can contact me. I'm in Denver, but again, I work all across the country. Our phone number is 303-501-8711, and that's my direct line, so that comes right to me.
Now, for our listeners out there that are advisors, Ken is known as a real giver in this department. He helps collaborate and work with several advisors all over the country. If you have questions about your clients and your exit planning, give Ken a call, go to his website, find out more, because this is a person who really specializes in this area. And I can tell you, he's really well known in our circle here through the BEI advisors as a person who gives back a lot more than he gets. And Ken, thanks very much for your time today.
Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate
it's been a real pleasure. I've been talking with Ken Stiefler. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50 plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new 1 minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.